Our guest was a tremendous corner with the Niners, the Panthers, a Pro Bowler, an All-Pro, a Super Bowl winner, now hosting Believe in 49ers on the Believe Podcast Network. On Twitter, it's at underscore Eric Davis, another underscore. Eric Davis, my pleasure to have you on the show. How's life treating you these days?
No complaints. On a road trip right now, headed from L.A. back up to the Bay, enjoying the drive on the coast, but all good. Hope you're doing well.
Yeah, thank you. You know, as an NFL fan since the Joe Namath days in New York, I'm a little older, so I got to do a quick rewind. You just heard the highlight I played. I mean, in 92 and 93, it had fallen short. Then in 94, it all came together. Championship Sunday, you pick off Troy Aikman. You score a touchdown. You had another interception later. What do you remember about that day at Candlestick and, you know, finally solving Dallas and getting to the Super Bowl?
I just remember it was just a group of guys that were just prepared. It was a fun day. We were ready for that day. We had prepared for it. I mean, it was 3 years in the making. We were clearly the two best teams in the league, you know, the 49ers and the Cowboys. There was not even a question of that. And that was the Super Bowl. And that's how we felt. We felt like we had lost the Super Bowl the previous 2 years because, you know, we felt as if we had an opportunity to win, and we let it get away. That day, we were not going to let it happen, and it was a great feeling, you know, to be the catalyst to get things jump-started, and it just kind of snowballed on the Cowboys after that. But I remember the noise. I remember the fun. I remember every hit. I remember the crowd. Yeah, it was a really good day, and it was great to, as you say, to solve that mystery, to complete the puzzle, and get it done.
You know, when people think of those teams, there's a tendency to think about Steve Young, and why not? He was amazing in the Super Bowl. But in the Super Bowl, late in the first half, you had another big interception, Stan Humphries, that gave you the big lead going into halftime, and then you achieved it. First you solved Dallas, now you win the Super Bowl. So what is it like that to reach the pinnacle, not only that, but to perform at the level at which you did?
Well, number one, San Diego didn't stand a chance. I was asked after the game. I was asked after the game by a reporter on Super Bowl Sunday. After the game, they asked me, when did we feel like we had control of the game? And my response, it's documented, it's in Sports Illustrated. My response, I said, right after we beat Dallas. I knew we had won the Super Bowl. So in that game, to come in, yes, it was completing the mission. That's how it felt. The goal was not to get to the Super Bowl. That's never the goal for the 49ers. The goal is to win a championship. And I had always been told that I was brought to that team to help them win a championship. Actually, the words that they use is to put bring more furniture into the building. And by furniture, they meant Super Bowl trophies. And so it was my job to bring new furniture. And that was, I had finally gotten to the place to where this is where you do your furniture shopping. There was no way I was going to leave without the prize. And it felt good to be there. Like I said, we were ready. I was ready. And we performed and we made our plays. And you know, I'm old enough now to where I can admit it. And I've admitted it to Steve. I'm mad that he threw six touchdowns because I personally think I was the MVP of those playoffs. but he did throw six touchdowns that day, so I guess he's the quarterback, so I guess they had to give it to him.
Yeah, I guess three interceptions, one for a touchdown for a DB. And you were the leading tackler in both those games, if I remember. So, yeah, you got a good case there. If you ever need a lawyer to rep you, I'll go to bat for you, Eric.
You know, and actually I have four interceptions through those playoffs, so, yeah. So maybe we'll take the court Monday.
We're talking with Eric Davis, who now hosts the Believe in 49ers podcast. You know, a couple weeks ago, a bad loss to Miami. Things look kind of bleak. A lot of injuries, whether it was to Jimmy Garoppolo, Raheem Mostert, Richard Sherman's out. But what does it say about this group, how they've rebounded these past 2 weeks? And now they're right back in the picture.
It says a lot about the depth of the team. So we got to start with the front office. You got to start at the top. Good organizations start at the top. So you got to put the right people in place. Now, once you put, that's from ownership. Now, once you put your GM, your head coach in place, you have to trust that they're going to bring in the people that can implement your philosophy, that can execute your philosophy. So when guys start to get hurt, of course, every team's good when their frontline guys are playing, or at least they should be good if you have your DM picking the right people and you got the right coach. But what happens when guys start to get hurt? When you're playing with your depth, have you ever really built your roster out? And that's what I'm seeing now. The guys went through some grim days where, you know, you're losing to teams that you shouldn't have lost to Philly, you shouldn't have lost to Miami, but you also were playing with all of your reserve players. You mentioned some of the injuries, and you've been playing with those guys. That group of guys have learned what the coaches want from them and how to execute what's being asked. The coaching staff has also learned how to morph what it is they're doing offensively and defensively based on. So I think it's a really good job of what they've done, because when they lost to Miami, I said it afterwards. I said it on the podcast that this is a bad team. It's a bad football team. I said it's a really good roster. It's a bad football team. And you have to understand your strengths and weaknesses, and they have figured that out. And they are starting to get that swagger back as they get healthier. So the snaps that these other guys have gotten is only going to help them down the road. And I said it to someone on an interview yesterday, and I'll say it again now. These next five games, the 49ers are in a situation where if they go 3-2, if they go 4-1, there's no way they're going to get knocked out. If they go 3-2, they're going to be a problem. So if you are in the NFC and you don't want to have to deal with the Niners when they get healthy, you better knock them out in the next 5 weeks. Because if you let them if you let them hang, they're going to be a tough out.
You know, along those lines, some of the specific injuries, you know, obviously it looks like Richard Sherman's probably out till after the bye. Jimmy Ward, Jaquaski Tart are dinged up. And this is a pretty darn good passing attack they're facing. So what's the word from the coaches and your thoughts on, you know, this particular passing game they're going to face this week?
Well, I'm not worried about it. I've seen the guys come along now. Now that you have your corner situation worked out, Jason Verrett has come back. He's healthy. He's playing like the guy that before he got hurt. He's playing like the Pro Bowler that I knew he was. Emmanuel Mosley has come in, and he's just growing as a player. He's a young player. He's growing as a player. He's going to be a solid starter in this league for years. So now that you have that going, Robert Saleh, the defense coordinator, is able to utilize that linebacking corps, which may be the best in the league, or, you know, if you just go man for man across the board. He's utilizing these guys in the pass rush since he's lost D Ford. He's lost Bosa, you know, the speed rushers. So they're able to, defensively, I think they're able to deal with this passing game. Russ is a problem. We know that. We know Russ is a problem. You also know with Lockett, and Metcalf, he's going to be able to make plays. He's going to find ways to make plays. But I think there's a little bit more pressure, more so than it's been in quite some time. There's a little bit more pressure on Russell to score damn near every time they have the ball. Because defensively, this is not your typical Seattle defense. And I think it's affecting the way they have to play offense. They're taking more chances. They're pushing the ball down the field a lot more. And I think that will set up some opportunities for the 49ers to be able to make some plays in that passing game. Yes, it's a good one. We know that. But Russ is also taking some chances that he normally doesn't take because he knows his defense is giving up points and the 49ers can't take advantage of that.
I got to get your thoughts on a couple of receivers, you know, looking through the lens of an elite defensive back as we continue with Eric Davis of the Believe in 49ers podcast. On your side, Brandon Ayuk, as you know, we're the voice of Oregon football in Eugene. We know what this guy could do. We saw him at Arizona State. What are you liking about this young guy as a rookie on that team?
That he's coming along, he looks like what the 49ers have needed. It's amazing to me how they've been able to get the right people and develop at every position other than the wide receiver position. I mean, really, the last really good wide receiver they developed was Terrell Owens. It's been that long. I mean, they've had some guys in between, J.J. Stokes and Crabtree, but they haven't really developed. Ayuk looks like a pro wide receiver to me, back in space, more so than Deebo Samuels. Deebo is a guy, he's built like a running back, he moves like a running back, but out in space, if you look at Ayuk, yes, he's a run after the catch guy, but he's much more fluid. In the transition area of a route, at the line of scrimmage, at the top of his routes, it's all cleaner, the balance is there. He's a hands catcher, which I really like. He's not a body guy. He uses his hands to snatch the ball out of the air. And all of those things will only get better as he gets time, he gets reps, and his confidence grows. But I already see the makings of a real pro receiver. So I think they've done really good with this guy because his route running and defensive recognition is only going to get better, and he's only going to become a better player as that happens.
A couple final thoughts for Eric Davis. On the Seattle side, obviously, there's DK Metcalf, who flashed some brilliance as a rookie. Now he seems to be kind of climbing that ladder among the best in the business. What are you seeing year two from, I guess, Seattle's receiving version of Beast Mode that has the attention of your Niners?
Well, you know what? Big body, fast guy. He actually will compete. He competes for the ball. He can run past you. When he catches the ball in front of you, you better have some bricks in your pocket because as a big man, you got to get on the ground. Yeah, you better bring your bricks because as a big man, you got to get on the ground. But he's becoming, with that size and speed, he's becoming a better route runner. His record, again, the same thing I was talking about with Ayuk, his recognition of what defenses are trying to do to him has grown. He has a much better understanding of what they're doing offensively, so he understands the intent of plays. Like even when young receivers don't understand sometimes that when you are not the primary, you still have to make things look a certain way. You can't give me as a defender a playoff. You can't let me know when you're not working, because then I always know when you are working. It makes it more difficult on you. He is understanding that now and making things look the same, whether he's primary or not. So all of those things are something that they're going to have to pay attention to against this guy, because he's capable of making plays.
One last thing. The offensive line, I saw the former Dakaronis Grassu started at center. They signed Trent Williams to play left tackle. Tomlinson's been steady. Daniel Brunskill's a first-time starter. McGlinchey was a high pick. So you knew there would be some kind of gelling time needed for this group. What are you seeing so far the first seven games on how that group is coming together?
The last few weeks, they've been able to do things a lot better. They've taken, after that butt kicking that took from Philly, I think the guys kind of looked at one another. I think they all called themselves, to the woodshed and had a personal talk just among the offensive linemen, and they've been playing better. You called it, there have been so many different injuries. I think they've started five different centers. This year, there have been so many injuries going all the way back to training camp that they haven't had an opportunity to work together. And I know, being a part of a secondary, it matters when you work in unison with guys. You need time spent. You need reps together. You need an understanding of what a guy can and cannot do. Because you can have the plays, and everyone knows what they're supposed to do, but you also know exactly how the player is going to play it when you have time with them. They have gradually gotten better as the running back situation has gotten healthy. And I said that before, this run game needs speed. And as their speed guys get out there, they look better because they don't have to sustain their blocks as long. There's a group of athletic guys, and they want to stream guys out, get them moving, and let the running backs, work accordingly off of that. When that speed's missing, it's not the same. So the speed is coming back at the running back position, even though Mostert just got hurt again, and Wilson got hurt. They can't keep a running back out there. But those guys are getting reps together, and they are gradually, you know, slowly but surely getting better.
Folks, he's Eric Davis, providing us with some tremendous insight and analysis. You could catch up with him on the Believe in 49ers podcast as part of the Believe Podcast Network on Twitter at _EricDavis_. ED, I really appreciate you taking some time to speak with us. You be well, you travel safe, and I hope we can catch up again down the road.
All right, sounds good. Enjoy talking to you.
All right, have a good one.